Hey, chiropractors, welcome to Modern Chiropractic Mastery with your host, Dr. Kevin Christie, where we discuss the latest in marketing, business, and professional growth with some of the leading experts in the industry. Welcome to my interview with Dr. Taylor Premer, and we're going to dive into a topic that it's important to me, and that is the delegation of rehab. And I think a lot of chiropractors feel like they have to do the rehab. And you may, if you're listening to this and you decide you want to do all the rehab and that is that fills your cup and you feel like that is where your unique ability is, I'm not here to try to change your mind completely. But there's a lot of chiropractors out there that are currently doing all the rehab and would either like to delegate it, know they want to delegate it, or they're kind of on the fence of it. And I wanted to bring Taylor on here to chat about that because he's kind of run the gamut with that at Winchester Spine and Sport. And so we dive into what it has looked like in the progression of his early career to be doing the rehab and then to be delegating the rehab and some of his insights on that. And I thought he'd be a great guest for that because he's lived it and breathed it and has some really good insights on delegating the rehab and what the patient experience has actually been when they do delegate it. So we will dive into that topic. Something I want to mention too, as we, towards the end of the conversation, discuss, shortly after this release, the MPI Adjust-A-Thon will be going on in Kansas City at Overland Park. And I'll be there. I'm excited to be there. First Adjust-A-Thon. Surprising. I've been to all the MPI seminars. I've been to a bunch of them, but I have not been to an Adjust-A-Thon yet, but excited to be there. So hopefully you will join us there. So just go to motionpalpation.org to check it out. There's going to be a just great amount of chiropractors. There's going to be a student track, a DC-only track. So if you are a licensed DC, you will have your own separate track to learn some advanced palpations and manipulations. And so check that out. All right, without further ado, here is my interview with Dr. Taylor Premer. All right, welcome to the show, Taylor. I really appreciate you coming on and hopping on a topic that I'm excited to dive further into. And actually, here's someone that's definitely run the gamut of delegation as it pertains to rehab and clinical care. But before we dive into that topic, tell us a little bit about yourself, personally, professionally, and some updates.
Yeah, man. So thanks for having me on. Obviously, Kevin, I've been a one-time listener, so it's exciting to be on for sure. But my name is Taylor Premer. So I'm a chiropractor here at Winchester Spine and Sport in Troy, Missouri. And so I have a specialty in sports medicine. And so that's kind of my love, we'll put it that way. I love seeing high school patients and high school athletes. And I volunteer some time at two local high schools. And so that's really what gets me up in the morning is getting kids back on the field. And, I've been lucky enough to treat a bunch of professional athletes, but high school athletes are really what really brings me joy and gets me going. So that, and then along with Brett Winchester, we own Gestalt Education, which is a continuing education company. And we also have a podcast called The Gestalt Education Show. And so if I'm not in here treating patients, we're out usually traveling to teach or to host podcasts. And I have a wife, her name is also Taylor, ironically. So. That's kind of my life. I'm from Nebraska originally, a little tiny town, and somehow found my way to Troy, Missouri, and the rest is history. So I absolutely love what I do. And I know that you echo it too, Kevin, that there is no better time to be a chiropractor. And I think the topic today is an exciting one because, early on in my career, I really didn't know what the hell chiropractic was, to be completely honest with you. And and kind of having my eyes open up to the possibilities and how you can kind of be in two places at once is something that kind of excites me as someone that almost thrives on chaos. I love the idea of a little bit more chaos in my life. And so I'm excited to kind of dive into this topic.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's been kind of something that, we're seeing, I think, a little bit more and more is chiropractors that do, multimodal approach of care, which is great. And, I'm at the age now where when I talk about when I used to be young, I actually used to do a lot of rehab exercises. I'm certified in the TPI stuff. I'm certified in the SFMA back from the beginning part, and I was learning from Greg Cook and read up all on the Craig Liebmans and stuff. So I was in the thick of it on doing the rehab and actually physically doing it with the patients and showing them how to do it. So I did live that life a little bit. And now that I'm in my mid 40s and have built up a practice, built and sold another practice, I realize, you know, at some point there is a growth strategy you need to have for your clinical delegation so that you could have longevity in this career we call chiropractic and also build a thriving practice around it. So I wanted to bring you on to kind of talk about the process that you went through and then also the current process that the clinic has of really starting to understand how to effectively delegate the rehab component of that. So my first question after that long preamble there is tell us about you got to Winchester's place there as a preceptor, correct?
Yep.
And then what was it like to be on the end of it to where you were learning that and learning how to delegate from another doctor? The doctor's prescribing and you have to obviously you know, render those services on the rehab side of things.
Yeah, so I have kind of a unique start to it, honestly. So when I first got here, the internship program wasn't what it is now, I'll put it that way. And mm-hmm. So I honestly didn't do a ton of personalized rehab for Brett. I did some passive stuff and some rehab here and there, but it wasn't structured by any means. And so the majority of the time, I was just shadowing him, taking notes, helping patients get him out of rooms, maybe taking them out of decompression, doing laser, pulling needles, doing some rehab here and there, but it wasn't really structured. And so, mm-hmm. you know, early on, I loved it. I mean, what an amazing experience. I spent basically 6 months in a room with Brett Winchester all day, every day. I mean, I am literally the luckiest human being alive for that. And so, however, I could start to see that there were some holes in the growth opportunities, like we talked about kind of in the intro. And, you know, Brett is an absolute savant when it comes to treating patients. I mean, I don't think anybody would, I would put him up against anybody in the world, and don't tell him I said that. I hope he doesn't listen to this. But with that being said, Brett, you know, he would be an hour and a half behind at certain points. And, you know, there was just some interesting things. And so as I started to transition into more of a physician, that's when him and I started to have more conversations about what we're talking about today. You know, we had a rehab tech, Danielle, that's been with Brett for a long time, and she would do a lot of this stuff for him, meaning, you know, I'm a DNS geek, and so nobody in the world can teach respiration and intra-abdominal pressure probably better than Danielle because she's done it every year for the last almost 10 years. And so that was really the only delegation. We had three doctors at the time, and they were all using Danielle, and it was just like, it was a lot for her to handle. And at the time, you know, it was, we would basically, he would have one, maybe two interns at a time, and it wasn't very structured, like I said. And so throughout the first year and a half of actually being in practice here, we started to have conversations about creating more of an intern program and creating more of that longevity conversation on what it actually looks like to delegate and what it actually looks like to like fully immerse students into this world that we live in. You know, Brett being an educator himself, he's used to having people with him. And, you know, there's not a day goes by that we don't have some sort of shadow or intern in with us. But again, there was no structure. And so, you know, within the first year, we started to have conversations about actually structuring them, number one. And then number two, actually like starting to reach out to more schools and get more people into our web that actually wanted to be here. And so, you know, early on, it was just kind of like, people from Palmer or from Florida or from Western states, they're not going to come to Troy because I don't know, where are they going to stay? What are they going to do? Like, are people really wanting to do that? And we kind of jumped right into the deep end and found out that people were actually like craving to be here. And so that kind of evolved and it forced us really quickly to be able to kind of build a structural program and to where it's evolved now. Now, you know, interns are integrated into the care every single day. Yep. So today I have a new patient, I think at 3:30. So at 3:30, an intern, whoever's turn it is, just in the rotation, will get assigned to that patient with. So they will be with me every step of the way through the entire care plan, through that patient's lifespan, whether they're here longer or the interns are longer. And so what it forces us to do is, number one, us as physicians, we have to have, you know, very pointed reasons for what we're doing. Meaning every single time that I am doing something in the treatment room, whether that's an assessment, whether that's sending for imaging, for lab work, a rehab exercise, I have someone that's going to be asking me why we're doing that, number one. And then number two, it forces us to kind of think about the lifespan of that patient. Meaning, what does this case look like in 2 weeks? What does it look like in 3 weeks? And so that's kind of where it's evolved to now, where interns are extremely valuable to our practice, not only to kind of delegate the rehab process off to, but also it kind of forces us to get kind of pull back the curtains and, you know, full bar, like discuss cases that aren't working well, discuss cases that are going really well, and kind of decide on what needs to happen from there. And so that's kind of been the evolution, honestly. And there are some hard times. Brett and I had some hard discussions. And if you know Brett and I, we like to jab each other a little bit. There was a little bit back and forth on what that actually looked like. And now I think it's probably, it is an invaluable experience to be here for the interns, and seeing them progress from students to doctors has been really cool. I mean, the amount of growth that we can get kids to feel in that first couple months is pretty extraordinary. And I think that, similar to in med school, where you're integrated into the hospital or into this, you know, network, we're doing the same thing here with our internships. And so that's really how it's evolved, and we're super proud of it.
That's great. Yeah. And I want a couple of questions on that. I want to go back to your rehab tech. What are her credentials before, when she started working for you guys?
Ironically, Brett knew her family, and she was working checkout at Walmart.
Yeah.
And so Brett fell in love with her, her personality and her ability to connect with people, and said, I will teach you everything you need to know. And I think it's a good point to bring up too, Kevin, because I think we get so caught up in people having athletic training credentials, personal training credentials, and all these different things, because we feel like it's so difficult to learn these things. You need to have some sort of background. And the reality is you really don't. It just takes effort and it takes time to really teach them how you want things to be conceived, or how you want the patient to view this, or how you want it to be kind of settled out. So she was just a checkout at Walmart.
Yeah, you want to find the person that has a good personality and has a high capacity to learn, obviously eager to learn. It doesn't have to have the alphabet behind their name to get that for this rehab tech position, which is really awesome. So that's why I wanted to ask that, because I kind of knew the answer.
Kevin, I mean, like talking about overhead, like nobody knows more about overhead than you. Being able to maybe not pay them quite as much as that athletic trainer or the personal training background, it just allows you to do more things in the practice, give more to the community, bring in more people, have more marketing, do more things in the community. And it doesn't devalue her at all. I mean, she makes a great living doing this, but it just opens up many more doors in your practice to be able to do things.
Yeah. And what's cool about it, and we've talked about this on a previous episode, is we're through MCM and we're working with our clients. We're talking a lot about this idea of a Swiss Army CA, where, you know, maybe you hire for that rehab tech, but they also can back up the front desk or even be part of the front. They can also help out with other things within the clinic. And it's just really having that right-hand person to help the doctor out. Kind of like how you mentioned the interns shadow you for the case. And that's really good. And that leads me to my second question is, you talked about structure. And I think one of the things I'd love to hear you talk about, because this is, in my opinion, a key ingredient to this whole thing, whether you have a rehab tech or you have an influx of interns, is a training program to learn this stuff. What does that look like in your clinic? And then some things that you'd recommend as far as training consistently for that person.
Yeah. So every Wednesday we have a meeting. So the first hour of our schedule is blocked off every single Wednesday. The first Wednesday of every month is a full staff meeting. And that's where Brett, usually we'll either bring someone into the community that's, you know, doing really exceptional things to kind of talk about how they grow their business and things like that. Or if it's just us as a staff talking about ways that we can improve the practice, or, you know, we do one-on-one reports. And so each one of us has our own little thing that we're responsible for in the practice. For me, it's the high schools and external marketing. And so every first Wednesday of that month, I know that I'm going to be called on to basically give a report on, hey, this is what the status of the high schools is. This is the sports we have coming up. This is what to expect with injuries. This is where we need to have sports physicals. And then also like, hey, this is where the community golf tournaments are and things like that. But then all the other Wednesdays are doctor's meetings and intern meetings, and it's per topic. And so usually how we do it is we just kind of work our way through the body, whether that's foot and ankle, knee, hip, or like an MDT day or a DNS day and things like that. And so it's very, each of us doctors is usually giving input, or we have like a responsibility on, okay, we're talking about DNS today. Okay, you're going to talk about respiration. You're going to talk about 3-month prone. And then Brett will maybe interject into like a couple cases that he's had lately on what that actually looks like. So that's part of it. And then I have Tuesday mornings off. And so Tuesday mornings are my day off at the practice. And so usually, if not every Tuesday, every other Tuesday, we'll do just a quick in-service with the patient or with the interns where it's just me and them and, you know, whatever they're struggling with, or if us doctors notice that, hey, this isn't quite right as far as the rehab or the laser or needling or whatever it might be, taping, then I'll just take them through those little things. And so that's kind of how it's structured. And then honestly, it's just like every single day at the end of the day, we usually we have seltzers, we drink a little tequila, do something like that. Mm-hmm. And then it opens up the floor for the interns to actually ask questions about cases. Mm-hmm. Hey, when you were doing this, can you show me what exactly that looked like? And so it's just kind of like an ongoing conversation. We have structured days, Tuesday mornings and Wednesdays, that are kind of like for education, for teaching. But then every single day, it usually culminates into conversations about other things. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, I noticed I've been having a hard time doing this. I noticed you did it really well. Do you mind if next Tuesday we talk about that? And then that just gets kind of added into the education. So I say structured, it's pretty structured. We're getting better at actually getting like a curriculum set out. But honestly, what makes it fun is that each intern has just a different set of skills, a different set of challenges, a different set of ideas on what they want to learn. And so that just kind of helps evolve the curriculum as we go through their internship. And that's kind of how we evolve it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the training is a huge part of it. And you know, we have that. What's good about it is when you put it together if you start getting interns, obviously if you have a rehab tech, it might take a little bit longer. You get a good chiropractic intern, they're going to have probably a higher capacity, probably obviously a lot more education than someone that doesn't have gone through 4 years of chiropractic school plus 4 years of undergrad. But your onboarding for your interns still needs to happen. It might just be quicker, which is cool. Cause I think I want to dispel the myth, cause I hear sometimes from chiropractors that, you know, I don't want to really deal with the internship program schools because it's like, I might get one for 4 months. I might get one for 8. I might have a gap in it. I might, like, they're worried about the consistency of it. Cause obviously it's a little easier for your clinic and probably my clinic to get a steady influx of interns than maybe other clinics. That's just a reality. And my argument of that is just put together a really good training program, onboard the preceptor, try to get as many as you can when you can, like get proactive with that. But any just insights on onboarding more of a chiropractic intern versus say a rehab tech?
Yeah, I think you bring up some good points. I mean, it's something that we've struggled with too. I mean, you just never know. You know, we're pretty picky on our interns. We want them to have certain skills and certain, seminars they've taken and things like that, just because one, it helps our onboarding process be a little bit quicker, but also two, we're trusting them with a lot of things. And so we want them to be proactive. But honestly, like, personality trumps all. Like, that literally trumps everything. And so I think if you have a good personality and you have someone that's willing to learn, like we talked about earlier, then, you know, the onboarding is pretty damn quick. But I think having just time set away, I think that is the most difficult thing. You know, it's very easy to just cram as many patients into a week as you can. But, you know, then now you haven't taken the time aside to try to educate. Then you're forced to try to educate while you're treating. You're trying to educate between patients and things like that. And that is just, that's a recipe for disaster. Mm-hmm. It's going to just overwhelm you. Two, the patient experience goes out the door because now you're not connecting with them. You're connecting with the person that's in the room with you. And so I think that is my biggest tip, is just literally have time set aside where it's, hey, this is the time. It doesn't matter how many patients, if I'm leaving for the weekend, this is the time. We can't add more patients at this time. This is it. Like, this time is set aside. The staff knows it. The interns knows it. The docs know it. Time is set aside and stick to it and just be very diligent in that time set aside and don't come off of that time.
Let's take a break from today's episode and announce our first sponsor. This is going to be Propel Marketing and Design. I've known Darcy Sullivan for years. We've worked hand in hand on my websites. I don't trust anybody else to do this search engine optimization. She does a great job. There's so much to it. A lot of the lingo and the words are beyond my comprehension, but it's just amazing work that she does. And if you're really going to get results with Google, you have to make sure your website is SEO optimized. And I really don't want you doing it yourself as a chiropractor. So you just have to have this type of stuff done. And if you're looking to get more organic online traffic that pulls in new patients, Propel Marketing and Design is currently offering chiropractors who listen to this podcast a free SEO website review. The free review will help you uncover methods that will improve your website and boost your search engine visibility. Head over to propelyourcompany.com/chiropractor and schedule your free SEO website review. You won't regret it. She gets great results. Your website needs this. Your search results need this. Head on over there to propelyourcompany.com/chiropractor to get your free SEO website review. Okay. And then I want to just switch gears a little bit because I get it. There's, you know, some of the docs listening here that are rehab heavy, you know, rehab can get very complicated. Like I get it. You know, if you're some chiropractors are doing post-surgical rehab, you start adding things like DNS and neurodynamics and the Levinson stuff and all like it, I get it. Like some of these chiropractors are spending 30 to 60 minutes with patients doing rehab and it gets very intricate and understanding the patient's bodies and progressions and regressions. Like I get the how in-depth it can get. So I don't want to discount that. So I do understand it. And then before we hit record, you were kind of talking about how even you were reluctant at one point to delegate the rehab side of things. Can you talk about that kind of progression for yourself?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like the hard truth and the thing that I kind of had to reconcile is early on, I just was really crappy at assessment, to be completely honest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was a little bit difficult because I was just trying so many things because my assessment wasn't very good. I was having to do so many things just to get anything to change. And yeah. So it took me kind of looking in the mirror and really getting a little bit more specific on my assessments in order to feel comfortable delegating because I didn't want to pull back the curtain all the way, you know, and I didn't want to show that maybe I didn't have everything figured out. And so once I kind of let down my guard on those times, it became a lot easier. And I mean, honestly, like, you know, I was the fifth chiropractor at the time brought it in. And so my patient wasn't very busy. I had the time. And so I said, screw it. I'm just going to go all in. I'm just going to, you know, ramrod this. And I will spend those 30 and 45 minutes with these patients. Mm-hmm. But then what I started to realize really quickly is one, you can't make very much money when you see people for 45 minutes and take insurance. That's just the reality. And then two, my results really weren't that much better than people that were seeing patients for 15 minutes. You know, just because you see people for an hour doesn't mean that your results are that much better. And so I came to those realizations and then I just started getting better at my assessment and actually taking the time to get good with assessing, paying attention, having a little bit more of like a playbook or a strategy that kind of strategically look through the body. And that way I could be more specific in my assessment. I would still have time to then manipulate, do my manual therapy, maybe do a couple rehab, but then have more of like a specific, hey, I need you to work on this thing specifically. This is what I would suggest for the rehab. But then, you know, as you start to trust the interns more in the CA, then you know, you can kind of give them more of a, hey, this is what I need to work on. I don't care how you do it, but this is what I need to change. And this is why, you know, this is the assessment that I found it in. This is why it's affecting their case. And so, you know, you can kind of have a little bit of gray areas there as far as progressing, regressing, because I knew that it was, you know, anything in that area is going to be really good. And so that was kind of my experience. You know, the first year, it was just a lot of me. Like I spent a lot of time trying to figure out myself, trying to figure out what it looked like in these four walls in the treatment room. And you know, I learned so much, but I also learned that it was okay to delegate, number one, as long as you're paying attention, as long as your assessments are very clean. And then, you know, whatever, if you send it back to an intern or a CA and it doesn't go perfectly, you still got time for them to come back. But, you know, that kind of brings us in, hopefully Mark will appreciate, Mark King will talk about this, but having a plan together for the patient that's integrated together. You know, if you have a plan that looks like twice a week for 3 weeks or whatever that looks like, then you know, you do your assessment, you make a clinical leap of faith, you go down that route, you have the intern go down that route, they come back and things are not going well. Okay, no problem. Then go back to my assessment, reassess, relook at things. Maybe I missed this little piece here, or maybe we do need to change things up on the rehab side. Then it's a point of education for myself. It's a point of education for the intern. And then things go really well. And honestly, the patients feel very taken care of, you know, in a world of medicine where you know, doors are closed and there's not much of a plan and, you know, nobody talks to each other. To actually have a place that everybody's talking together, and everybody really understands them, they feel the experience of the patient is so much better and the results are so much better along with that.
Yeah. You know, I want to touch on this because you kind of got me thinking there when you mentioned about the assessment. If you were to kind of categorize three things here, one would be your assessment, two would be manual therapy. And let's just put under manual anything like soft tissue manipulation, palpation. And then you throw in the third thing, which would be rehab. It's almost like early on in this process as a chiropractor, I think some chiropractors get heavy on the rehab because maybe the assessment isn't where it needs to be. And so they're almost like spending the time and doing the rehab to try to cover that up a bit.
Yeah, to compensate. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not saying everybody's like that, but I think that happens because I mentioned the book a lot and I've done it recently on the podcast, but Thinking Slow and Fast by Daniel Kahneman. He talks about system one thinking and system two thinking. System one thinking is 2 + 2. It's just the easy reactionary thinking, no sweat, doesn't burn any calories. System two thinking is where you really have to grind your gears to think through something. And I try to talk to younger chiropractors with that first 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. You're going to be burning through system two a lot because you don't have the clinical experience yet. Even if you're really good in year three, you're just burning through that. My words of wisdom now that I've been doing it for almost 20 years is that you will get better. Most of your day will be system one thinking and you'll have the occasional system two. So keep getting better. But I think what happens is, you know, to get really good at the manual component of what we do, again, palpation, manipulation, soft tissue, to get really good at the assessment, that takes a level of mastery. And a lot of people don't dive into that mastery and realize, like, I'm just going to dive headfirst in this and it's going to take me 5 years or whatever. But once I break through that and I'm 32 years old or whatever, I'm going to be a master for that age at palpation manipulation, at soft tissue, at assessment. And then, like Brett talks about all the time, is being a sniper and really now cherry picking a handful of things that the rehab will take care of and give them some things at home and not like overwhelming them with two things. And so I can see that those three variables being kind of manipulated by chiropractors, like, well, I'm weak on assessment, let me overload the rehab. And is that what you kind of went through as well as your development as a chiropractor?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that so many people discount the manual stuff that we do just because honestly, they're not good at it yet. And yeah. So, like you said, it's an overcompensation. You know, I hate to say it, but there are millions of people that can teach a kettlebell swing or to teach a side bridge. Or, I mean, no offense to Danielle, but she was a checkout girl at Walmart and she is a master at doing these things. But, you know, I think there's a certain level of people coming in to see a chiropractor that there's a preconceived notion of what needs to happen. And that has to involve these. And that's just my personal opinion. I'm a chiropractor's chiropractor. I love manipulation and I love manual therapy. And I find myself trending more towards the manual things now that I have that kind of escape net of the intern to be able to do those things. And so to your point exactly, I think what has evolved maybe in the last 2 years with me is being conscious of kind of that system two thinking of, okay, well, here is this, whatever might be a trigger point, fascial adhesion, whatever might be, I think that this is probably going to get better with rehab. So I'm going to leave this alone. That's going to be like my auto. Okay. So then that's going to come back versus I feel this. This needs to be ART. This needs to be needle. This needs to be, you know, more of a sniper approach like you were talking about. This needs manual therapy and it's going to clear up really quick. This other stuff is going to clear up with rehab. And so kind of like almost delegating my own techniques in my head, which is clinical decision-making and the functional triage that we talk a lot about is being able to make those decisions just through feel, through that. And honestly, like to your point, it just takes time to develop that. And so I think if I could change a couple of things just from my first couple of years of practice, it would be that spending a little bit more time on the manual side and being okay with failing a little bit more versus just, oh crap, I really don't know what's going on. So I'm just going to pick 14 DNF exercises and hope to God something happens, you know? Yeah. And, or, you know, I'm just going to keep rubbing on this thing until they feel better, whether they like it or not, you know? And so, yeah, I think it's 100%, you know, and this, unfortunately, the climate now is trending more away from the manual side, which is, I think it's a big mistake by chiropractors, PTs, athletic trainers, whoever you are, if you're a body worker, period, I'm getting more away from the manual therapy because maybe the research is a little bit unclear of the mechanisms. But again, like all you can do is just continue to pay attention to your patients, continue getting better at assessing. I think having a systematic approach of assessment is what gets you there. Meaning my assessment, your assessment, Kevin, my assessment, Brett's assessment, they're going to look differently. There's going to be some overlap for sure. But you know, you may value things a little bit differently than I value things in my patient experience. But at the end of the day, if there's a reason why you're going down that track and you're paying attention and you're learning from your mistakes, you're learning from your you know, successes, then you're going to be so much better at the end of every single day, let alone week, month, year, several years. And I think that's an art that maybe people aren't willing to go through the sacrifices and the struggles of getting really good at this stuff. And I think it's a shame because there is nothing better than these tools that we have with us. And that is really, to me, what classifies being a good chiropractor, a good healer in general. So, yeah, I agree.
I had a patient actually talk to me about this. He was very successful tech entrepreneur. And he's like, you know, I come to you just like some people come to my business is for a core competency. And every business has a core product or core competency. And he was telling, he's like, for you, I come because the manual therapy. He's like, yeah, you give me the rehab or I do the laser or whatever. That's fine and all that. But I come to you because of what you're able to do with your hands and do it in an efficient manner. And that's where I think a lot of chiropractors are losing that. And again, I want to reassure the younger chiropractors is that if you work really hard to master the palpation, the soft tissue palpation, the joint palpation, the manual, the manipulation and all that, again, whether you use ART, dry needling, Graston, if you get really freaking good at that and you become just a killer at that, then people are going to come in for that. And then you're going to also give them the rehab because that's going to help them get results as well. If all you are really good at is exercise and frankly, not good with the palpation assessments and the manual, they can get that in a lot of places. So it becomes harder to differentiate yourself in the marketplace on a scale that will grow a practice that will then provide freedom. Now, yeah, like I could open up a rehab only practice and get some people in there that value that and don't care about the manual. There's definitely that. But to build that thriving practice where your clinic is able to see 100, 125, 150, 200 people in a week, you can put a team around you so that you can do this for 30 years. That's where the sweet spot's going to be. Because we're seeing too many people burning out, I think, because they're doing too many things and they're not seeing a light at the end of the tunnel.
Right. Or, I mean, they're just not making a professional income. You know, like that is a major thing. You know, I completely understand, you know, if you're a cash practice and you want to see people for an hour, that's great because you can charge your hourly rate, but we're in small town Missouri. And so like we have got to see patients. Like I have got to see a little over 100 patients a week for me to make what I want and for me to affect the change that I want to change in the community. And so but you can't devalue, you know, what we do every single day. And I think it goes back to having a plan for your patient, having a plan for yourself. I mean, shit, like just, you know, figure out what you want in this life, in this career, because it may be different than that. You know, you may want to spend an hour with your patients. You may want to, you know, go into the gym and do these other things, do programming for them, do all that kind of stuff, which is great. That's not what, you know, gets me going in the morning specifically.
Yeah.
But if you don't have a plan for developing that and creating that, then, I mean, now you're going to burn out and now you're up shit's creek. So.
Let's take a short break for one of our great sponsors, TrackStat. It is a new type of software plugin for your EHR that combines patient communication, marketing, automation, and statistics with patient and employee tracking. Built by chiropractors for chiropractors, it shows your team what to focus on each day. See patient visit habits, missing information, unpaid bills, insurance collection, visit average, and more. Great visibility of data so you can focus on filling your office with your best patients. When you can see what your staff and patients are doing or not doing and take action accordingly, your profits naturally grow. Take TrackStat for a test drive in your office with our free trial. Not a techie, no problem, we can help. To get started on your free trial, visit TrackStat.org and watch the demo. That is TrackStat.org. And I think, you know, on the topic of, say, the cash-based rehab, Cairo that's doing 30, 60 minutes, again, more power to you. You and I talk a lot about the hourly capacity. Like you have to be able to earn a certain amount of money of revenue per hour per doctor. And so there's a lot of chiros that aren't doing well with that. And then there are some that are charging a lot, you know, $300-$400 an hour. The tricky part about that is too many are trying to do that right out of the gates. They haven't done enough to position themselves as an expert to command that amount. So it's kind of putting the cart before the horse, which is a little tricky. And that's definitely got its flaws. But hopefully you get to the point where you are just, like you said earlier, a savant. If you can get to the savant level, then you can charge more. And so typically it's progression to get there. But what makes you so unique that you can command $400 or $500 an hour, again, at scale, to do it to where you're having not only a good hourly capacity, because that's one thing, you got to do that. But if you're only seeing 10 people in a week, or you can only see 7 people in a day, that's going to have its own capacity limitations to be able to put a team or hire and then free yourself up to be able to take vacations or travel like you guys do, or frankly, just be able to cut down your shifts to 4 days a week down the road if you want. And so it becomes become pigeonholed a little bit. And that's what I'm worried about for a lot of the younger chiropractors.
Well, and it kind of brings up the whole point of this discussion too, Kevin, is, you know, if you, let's say you do value, the patients need 30 minutes of care. Well, if you can build a team around you that can take 15 minutes away from you, you can spend 15 really, really good minutes with the patient, give them a really good manual therapy, give them the rehab that you think, and then you can just add on that 15 minutes even more, you know. Yeah. Whatever that looks like in your practice. For us, it's you know, our intern program, you know, like our goal is for patients to be here about 20 minutes. So however that looks like, that day you're with the doc for 15 minutes and you're with the intern for 5, or maybe it's 5 minutes with the doc and 15 with the intern or the CA. But I think, you know, if you don't have a plan, if you don't have an idea of where that case is going early on, then it's really hard to just make audibles and kind of make that all fit. And then the next thing you know, you're way behind and your capacity issues and patients are unhappy because they're with you for, you know, whatever, an hour and they're got to go back to work or, you know, whatever that, or they don't feel like they had enough time with the doctor. It's a delicate little balance. And so making sure the product is really good is, I think, what it's all about. You know, that's what makes Apple, Apple or whoever, you know, company it is, their product is so good. But then everything around surrounding it is also amazing. So.
Yeah, our patients are in here usually 20, 30 minutes, unless they're just like a maintenance care. And they get doctor time, they get intern time, or if we have rehab tech, and they're getting all the things that they want. And they like the team atmosphere. And not everybody's going to be able to afford a team early on. And I get that. What our point is here is to start building the process to where you have certain revenue numbers where it's like, if I get here, here's my profit. This is when I can bring someone on. Or if you've been out of practice for 3 to 5 years, the schools are different, but you have to be out a certain amount to take on interns. You know, like start planning for that ahead of time and have a vision and be open-minded to delegate. I think that was something that you had to overcome, like you mentioned, was the psychology of delegating. And it's a different level of leadership that I think some people are afraid of as well, because you have to train and you have to mentor a person to be able to do that, but it really frees you up in many ways.
Very true. I think you just got to be a little bit okay with maybe the results not being perfect. You know, Brett's kind of a perfectionist. I'm a little bit myself. And so, you know, just being okay with maybe things not going perfect right away, but building towards that perfection, you know, but you can't get to that point if you don't have conversations with them about what they did good, what they did bad, what they need to improve on, what you need to improve on. And I think that, you know, if you are just, you know, quickly out of practice, just maybe even starting to put a break in your schedule where that hour a day, you know, down the road in 3-4 years, that's going to be your intern time to educate, or maybe your new doctor education time, or maybe your new CA education time, and just like starting to just build that into your brain and start, you know, take that hour to educate yourself, build a curriculum, like start putting PowerPoint slides together of like, hey, when we talk about the foot and ankle, here's what I'm valuing right now and what I'm seeing. And then this is what I really want my new associate, my new CA, my new intern to know when it comes to this specific condition, this specific case, even just body parts and things like that. And so I think that would be a really good use of your time, because then you can double down with that information. And if you want to use it for marketing events, you already have those PowerPoint slides done. That way, if you get asked on a Tuesday to do a marketing talk on a Wednesday, you don't have to scramble around that night and put a bunch of stuff together to build it. And so I think That would be a very good use of your time. I was lucky. We teach a course at Maryville, which is a small school here in St. Louis of the pre-PT program. And so that's what I did. I just started using the Maryville PowerPoint slides of biomechanics and anatomy to then just build my intern slides to then use for education, which then I'm going to use to teach if I teach seminars down the route, or if I, you know, I'm having a, I have a talk with the football team in Troy here in a couple of weeks. And so like, I already have just a bank of things that I'm built upon in the last 5-6 years that now I can pull from to start doing it. And it forces yourself to get better, you know, like, okay, foot and ankle cases. Here's kind of where my gaps are. Okay, where should I, maybe I need to get Thomas Shad's book and start going through human locomotion again, or here's the pictures that I kind of forgot about with anatomy. And, oh, by the way, here's my MDT notes on here's the most common reductive movement. ART, oh crap, I forgot about the soleus move or whatever it might be, and just start building that bank and library for your own self, but then for yourself down the road.
This has been great. Where are you guys traveling to next, and what seminar is it?
Well, Brett is headed towards Britain. It's Great Britain with a family vacation. So I got a couple of weeks of just myself, but then we've got a DNS Exercise 2 course in Raleigh with Lindsay Muma that we're super excited about. That's in August. The last weekend in August, we're actually kind of splitting up. Brett is teaching a DNS baseball course in Chicago. And then I'm doing the R2P alumni track on that Saturday, where I'm going to talk about high school marketing and treating acute injuries and care for them and stuff like that. And so we've got all sorts of courses coming up. So we took a little bit of a break. We just had the DNS World Congress here in St. Louis, which went great. We had 150 people, 14 instructors. And so That took me a couple of weeks to kind of come down from and you know, recuperate a little bit. So, but anyway, yeah, we have a new big intern group coming in the fall that we're super excited about. So we're already getting things lined up as far as onboarding and what that looks like, and you know, just trying to improve that experience for them and for us every single time. Every time we get a new group coming in, okay, here's what we kind of messed up on the last time, and here's kind of what we want to approach it this time. So. Yeah, we're super excited. So
good. And where can they find out more information for these courses that you got going on?
Yeah, it's Gestalt Education. So gestaltedu.com. And yeah, we got our podcast up on there and a bunch of those. We got a really cool podcast we're working on. Hopefully, while Brett's in Chicago, I'm going to fly out there. And we got a really amazing orthopedic surgeon that we're going to interview. And we've got a bunch of good ones coming on. We've got to get you back on, Kev. Talk about your new experiences. So,
are you guys going to be in? I know he will, but are you going to be at Adjust-a-thon, the MPI Adjust-a-thon?
Oh, absolutely. Adjust-a-thon is just marked on the calendar. Yeah, there you go. We'll do it then. Yeah. So Adjust-a-thon is just marked on the calendar. That is literally the Super Bowl of courses. And I've been lucky. I think this is going to be my 10th, maybe my 11th time being there. And it is just, the atmosphere is unmatched. And the last 2 years, we started doing a thing where Gestalt hosts a tailgate party on the Saturday night. And so last year, we had a stock trailer out there with a bunch of alcoholic beverages and music playing. And we did some interviews on there. And, oh, man, it's amazing. So now with the doctor track, too, I think that's such a cool thing that, you know, even if you don't want to be in a room full of students, you got, you know, a room full of doctors talking about manipulation and talking about palpation. And it's just it's an unmatched seminar. If you haven't been, you have to go.
Yeah. Actually, believe it or not, this will be my first Adjust-a-thon. I've been to all the other things, and it's the first one. So I'll be there. I'm excited.
I love it. I love it. I look forward to seeing you, my man.
All right. Cool, man. This was great, Taylor. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me on, Kevin. And yeah, we'll talk soon, hopefully.
I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. And if you want to make the shift from busy, broke, and broken to time free and cash confident, or you just want to continue with the exponential growth, check us out at modernchiropracticmarketing.com. Look at the MCM Mastery tab, watch the short video on there, and check out what we are doing now for evidence-informed chiropractors. We are equal parts coaching and marketing done for you. Yes, you shoot some videos, we help you with campaign strategies and ideas and really become a thought leader in your community. You shoot those videos, you send them to us, we produce, edit, and brand them to you. Then we distribute them through all of your channels. We also take them and we turn it into one good blog per month. And every other month, we have Darcy Sullivan producing a robust blog with a topic that you pick from her database to help with your SEO. So we essentially become your content marketing agency to make sure your practice is always having ethical, elegant content marketing to help grow your practice. On the coaching side, we also help you with everything from marketing ideas to business, communications, finances, anything practice growth, and really try to help prevent you from being stuck on that island. And we hold you accountable. We have a great group of doctors that are just doing amazing things. And we look forward to help you out to take that next step in your practice. So again, check us out at modernchiropracticmarketing.com and learn more.